Secretary Rice's trip to the Middle East provides us with a good time to look back nearly 30 years to a moment when the prospects for peace suddenly grew brighter. Egypt and Israel reached out to each other through an American news broadcast. Egyptian President Anwar Sadat startled the world when he offered to visit Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin. His offer and Begin's acceptance, both on television, broke a 30-year stalemate in Arab-Israeli relations, and it led directly to a peace settlement that has served both sides ever since. Our commentator and former CBS television anchorman Walter Cronkite found himself a central figure in that dialogue.
The terms of a settlement seemed simple and clear. It was the human factors that complicated things: pride, politics, and power. What was needed was for someone to drop a handkerchief, a moment of opportunity that would permit the parties both movement and cover. In 1977, I found myself playing that role in what would become the first direct exchange between Egypt and Israel.
Good evening. Not since the founding of the modern state of Israel, not as far as we know, has a leader of Israel met with a leader of Egypt. But now all obstacles appear to have been removed for peace discussions in Jerusalem between Egyptian President Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Begin. It happened this way earlier today in CBS News interviews with the two leaders.
Those CBS interviews would make the news process itself an active diplomatic channel. Shortly after wrapping the CBS Evening News one Friday, we learned a Canadian delegation in Cairo was saying that Sadat was planning a trip to Israel. It came too late for our broadcast and was still only a rumor. But by Sunday, no reporter had bothered to ask him the most obvious question: when would he go to Israel? Monday the 14th, the rush was on to get Sadat before a camera. We contacted his office and told our Cairo bureau to arrange a satellite link in which I could question him from New York. Sadat was as eager as I was, and by mid-morning I saw his familiar face come up live on the monitor in our CBS newsroom. I asked him about preconditions for an Israeli visit, and he started rattling off the familiar list of Arab demands. It sounded like the denial I expected. To make certain, I asked him again if these were his conditions for going to Israel. Sadat said no, they were his conditions for peace. He was ready to go to Israel any time. I took a deep breath. A routine interview had become a potentially historic breakthrough.
I'm just waiting for the proper invitation.
And how would that be transmitted, sir, since you do not have diplomatic relations with Israel?
Why not through our mutual friend, the Americans.
If you get that formal invitation, how soon are you prepared to go?
I'm looking forward to fulfill this visit in the earliest time possible.
That could be, say, within a week?
You can say that, yes.
Would you also engage in substantive discussion?
Exchange of views or so with Begin, yes. Because as I told you, Walter, this is my initiative.
We now had Sadat on film accepting an invitation that had not been offered. My producer, Bud Benjamin, told our Tel Aviv bureau manager, Joel Bernstein, to track down Begin for a response. Late that afternoon, I was on a phone line talking to the Israeli Prime Minister. The interviews with the leaders of Egypt and Israel
were conducted by a satellite to Cairo and Tel Aviv. I talked first with Egypt's Sadat and asked him about his offer to discuss peace in Jerusalem.
That was the portion we led with that night. Then we cut to Begin for his answer.
And I will, during the week, transmit a letter from me to President Sadat, inviting him formally and cordially through the good offices of the United States to come to Jerusalem.
With that, Begin reversed 30 years of Arab-Israeli history. I asked him when he would take the necessary steps to move
this new peace initiative from long-distance dialogue to a person-to-person meeting.
Tomorrow I will make a statement in our parliament in the afternoon. What I can assure you, Mr. Cronkite, as we really want the visit of President Sadat.
Are there any preconditions under which you will be inviting him?
No preconditions, and I understand that also President Sadat doesn't put forward any preconditions.
When I told him that Sadat was prepared to come within a week, he seemed surprised at the swiftness of it all. But his political instincts told him he could not be the one to stall events.
He hinted to me this morning that he thought it might be possible that he would be going to Israel, if the invitation was forthcoming, within a week or so. Do you think that's realistic?
Very good news. Well, if President Sadat is ready to come next week, I will have to postpone my trip to Britain.
But never in my career had I watched so many formalities swept aside so fast. The next morning, the papers were hailing CBS News as a force of media diplomacy. Time magazine talked of Cronkite's coup.
This is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite and Bob Schieffer in our newsroom in New York.
Sadat did not delay. He announced he would go to Israel the following Saturday, and the rush of the world press to meet him there was on.
Good evening. It was a dramatic, a historic, a precedent-shattering trip, and also a very busy one.
Monday morning, it was all over, and I returned to Cairo at Sadat's side. He concluded his historic 43-hour
mission to Jerusalem this afternoon and flew back here to Cairo to a welcome by perhaps a million of his people greeting him like a conquering hero. But what Sadat had conquered was far more uncertain than their greeting.
What Sadat had conquered would not happen overnight. But his evening news encounter with Begin set in motion events that would lead to Camp David, a famous handshake at the White House, and a Nobel Peace Prize. As for Cronkite diplomacy, I'm sure that it initiated nothing the two principals were not already prepared to undertake. If I dropped the strategic handkerchief, they chose the time and manner of picking it up. But the openness of television offered a powerful incentive that secret diplomacy did not. The political consequences of a public failure improved the ultimate chances of diplomatic success. And statesmen willing to fail publicly are a courageous lot.
No, an unqualified success it was not. But this can be said, and it's no small achievement. The expressions of friendship makes it more difficult for either side to press the button launching a new war. And that's the way it is, Monday, November 21st, 1977.
Whatever unfolds in the present dispute between Israel and Palestine will not be decided by fate or biblical prophecy. It will happen because men choose the outcome, just as Sadat and Begin did 3 decades ago. For NPR News, this is Walter Cronkite.
You're listening to All Things Considered.